Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Golden Dawn Radio. I'm George, and with me again is Ed.
Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm here, George.
Okay, now, what we're going to get into today, as I'm sure some of you have already heard of, is the recent happenings in Greece right now in regards to the murder of a 34-year-old man, Pavlos Fissas. The murder that has taken place is really only a small part of the tragic situation that is unfolded in Greece right now. The bigger tragedy is the complete disregard for the law in the country when it comes to the constitutional law of political parties, when it comes to the law and order on the street. Basically, what we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen, is a complete, utter, symphonized attack on Golden Dawn from the left, as can be expected, the conservatives, Nea Dimokratia, the media, internationally, and pretty much from every corner. Everything is working in synthesis now to stop Golden Dawn, right at a time when Golden Dawn's polls are starting to reach around 20%. That has been estimated. This thing that had happened, while being very tragic, is not unique. There are not any other types of things that are happening that makes this case unique. This is actually a case that's happened in other instances with other political parties, and we will get into that momentarily. Now, Ed, can you tell us a little bit about what you've been hearing in the English-speaking news? Because I've been reading a lot in the Greek sites, a lot of the Greek websites, following the statements by our leader, Mihaloyakos, about what's happening, what steps we're taking. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, I have to say it's been hectic in terms of the concerted propaganda bombardment that is going on right now. Virtually every major newspaper of the English language press has written scathing, fraudulent, libelous lies about Golden Dawn. All kinds of things, tying them to all kinds of things that are completely unheard of and unfound. All kinds of rumors are circulating that certain newspapers, the typical offenders, of course, are publishing as fact without any real sources. There's people that are out there, and just so everyone listening knows, there's people out there that are pretending to be anonymous sources. These are faceless people that are claiming all sorts of things. It's impossible to actually know what occurred to this 34-year-old man and what exactly happened, because everyone is saying something different in terms of the media. I don't quite understand why they don't give us a clear picture of what actually occurred. So I would
a lot of secondhand information, basically.
I wouldn't even call it that. It's not so much that these journalists are getting bad information. It's more so that they're maliciously publishing lies, knowing they're probably not true, and doing it because they don't like the political beliefs of Golden Dawn. And the Greek government is jumping on this and using its paramilitary arm, which is the street left, the anarchists and the communists that are out there committing all kinds of terrorist acts under the watchful eye of the police, allowing them to do this. They're bombing offices, attacking people. They went to a 20 or 30 of them went to a Golden Dawn member's home and attempted to pretty much committed a brash and brazen violent attack on them that they miraculously escaped. This is insane what's happening. They claim that the Golden Dawn is creating a climate of civil war, yet it's the politicians and the left.
And it really shows the irresponsibility of these politicians. They're so desperate to hold on to power that they're even going to destabilize this European project to stay in power. They're even going to bite the hand of their masters in some ways, because the IMF and the Troika, they don't really want a climate of civil war in Greece. What they want is for Golden Dawn to just go away. They want to wake up one morning and see Golden Dawn gone. But the politicians in Greece, like Mr. Samaras, are so desperate to get rid of them that they're trying everything in their arsenal, even the most risky type of moves, you know. It's like the kind of medicine that you take if you're terminally ill, and the medicine itself might kill you or destroy everything, you know, destroy your body, but you take it anyway just to try to kill the disease. That's how they see us. Like, they will stop it at nothing. They are terrified that we will take big parts of, you know, different municipalities in Greece. They're terrified about this.
I agree, George. I agree. Already, if you look at the main Golden Dawn webpage, they announced a poll, George, where Elias Kassidiadis is actually, despite the dirty war of propaganda, Elias Kassidiadis is actually leading the municipality polls. So,
yep.
If Golden Dawn takes the municipality of Athens, that will be a huge turning point, and the system knows this.
Yeah.
The timing is no coincidence. I mean, this incident occurred and was attributed to Golden Dawn very shortly after the secret poll came out that announced the People's Nationalists had 20% of the electorate support. Now, coupled with this secret poll were calls from virtually every anti-Hellenic and anti-Western banker and European Union entity saying, Samaras, do something. We yep. don't know what's going to happen when these guys take power. How are we going to continue to steal and enslave the people of Greece if Golden Dawn has control even of the Athens municipality?
You know, the details of this are still unfolding as we speak, so I wanted to tell our listeners that right now, as of the time of this recording, it's Monday evening, the 23rd. So this very well tomorrow could be a completely different situation unfolding after this. I mean, obviously we know they're going to keep their attack on, but things are unfolding pretty much as we speak. There's all kinds of things going on. Now, what I wanted to get into, Ed, is a little more about the details of what has happened. And I'm going to fill the listeners in on what's going on in the last 72 hours. So, on the 17th, this man, Pavlos Fisas, was stabbed in some kind of fight between him and a man named Yorgos Roupakias. Now, Roupakias, from what we know, is someone who has claimed that he supports Golden Dawn. He is not a member of Golden Dawn, but he has made statements, and there's reason to believe that he, like a million other Greeks in Greece, have positive things to say about Golden Dawn. We also know that some years ago, he was not even a supporter of Golden Dawn, that he was actually a supporter of the left. And for some reason, which we do not know, although we can imagine why, he started to move towards Golden Dawn. Now, this level of support, as we might put it, is the same or even less than the level of certain murderers that have been associated with Syriza, for example, or Nea Dimokratia. Now, I'm going to give you two examples, one of Syriza and one of Nea Dimokratia, which the connection is much stronger. And yet there is no public outcry, there is no no media coverage to demand that the person associated with that party has the whole party banned and all of this kind of thing. The first case was the taxi driver who was murdered by what the anarchists call the Conspiracy of Fire Nuclei. That's their group. Now, this man who committed the murder, who has been convicted, is directly connected with Rene Duru, who, as we all know, is a parliament member of Syriza. Okay, the connection has been proven and established through the internet, through Facebook.
They were Facebook friends.
They were Facebook friends. Now, that is yet another tragic incident, and there is not even close to the same amount of outpouring of sympathy or anything of the sort, because the media doesn't cover it, so the average rank-and-file Greek who still votes for Nea Dimokratia or Syriza or PASOK is not going to have any sympathy for this man, because they don't want them to have sympathy for this man. The next case, which is a case that I know personally from when I was living in Crete, on the island of Crete, there was a young man who was stabbed to death, actually stabbed directly in the heart, one night outside of a restaurant. And the reason why he was stabbed was simply because he made the other man who stabbed him, the murderer, drop his sandwich accidentally one night. This was late at night. The killer ran up behind him while the kid was running away and plunged a knife right into his chest, killing him instantly, pretty much instantly. And the killer, it was found out later, was not only connected with Nea Dimokratia, but he was a close family friend of the Nea Dimokratia member of parliament, Miss Olga Kefaloyani, who is one of the parliament representatives involved with Crete. Now, this woman did not only have connections with him, but this woman also had released this man from jail for a previous violent crime because of connections. She made some phone calls and had this psychopath released from jail. And then he did it again, and he murdered a kid. Now he's back in jail. Olga Kefaloyani, there's nothing touching her. She comes from a very wealthy family. The media has not spoken about this ever. They didn't speak of it then. They're not speaking of it now. And yet, they're speaking of Golden Dawn. Now, what I find even more tragic about all of this is the fact that even though so many Greeks have woken up and all the Greeks that support Golden Dawn are not changing, there are still this Polytechneo generation that still believes in Nea Dimokratia, PASOK, and their compassion and their emotions are so cold-blooded on one hand when it comes to a pregnant woman being burned alive in a bank, as what happened in Marfin Bank some time ago, and this Pavlos Fisas, who died.
George, I agree. The situation with the pregnant woman is actually at the Marfin Bank. Was actually, I'm sure those people, the Polytechneos, they did feel sorry for her, and they felt great sadness over that. The difference between that and this visa thing, though, is the political angle. Even though it's been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was the anarchists that were outside, that were known as arsonists in the area, that were outside of the bank protesting, who threw the Molotov cocktails that killed not only a pregnant woman, but also other bank employees. This didn't spark a call to ban leftist politics or any leftist political coalitions. They didn't start storming all of the different squats that the anarchists have or the think tanks that they have. The difference is that. I mean, people felt sorry for the pregnant woman like they feel sorry for Fisa, but no one tried to exploit it or blame a whole political ideology for it like they're doing for this, which is the main difference. And that shows you that a lot of the people that are turning this into exploiting this for a political angle, they don't care so much about this Pablo Fisa, at least not the higher-ups. They care more about finding something, pinning something on Golden Dawn, something they've been trying to do ever since the movement got into Parliament.
Yeah, they've been waiting for something, anything, to give them an in, to give them an excuse.
We predicted this.
Yeah.
We predicted this, George. We predicted this in numerous podcasts. We've said, what are they going to think of? What are they going to try? Because they're not winning the political discourse. They don't look good in Parliament next to the Golden Dawn guys. So what are they going to do? And this is the type of dirty mudslinging that they came up with. These are the straws that they're grasping for.
Right. And now, to get more into the details of what is happening on the street front, I'd like to update the listeners on this. Over the last 72 hours, there has been multiple cases of anarchists and communists going to Golden Dawn offices and trying to attack them, usually breaking windows, throwing Molotovs, trying to damage the property. The only exception when there was actual Golden Dawn members recently in one of them was in the town of Lamia. And in Lamia, there was about 15 Golden Dawn members present. They guarded the front door of the office. The police escorted the office. And when I say escorted, I mean they didn't get in between them at all and the Golden Dawn members. And they essentially marched up to the entrance of the Golden Dawn building, and they did nothing because they were afraid of Golden Dawn and what they might do. It's easy to throw a Molotov at a brick wall or break a window. It's not as easy to face patriots in Greece. And so
the irony here is, for all the accusations that Golden Dawn is creating this climate of civil war, which is a complete unfound lie, it's the leftists that are turning the streets of Athens into battlefields. They're the ones that are going out.
Furthermore, to add to that, what I was going to say is that in addition to the anarchists attacking these offices, the police are raiding these offices, going inside, looking for weapons, looking for anything they can find to try and connect Golden Dawn as a group to this killer, which they cannot. They have not come up with anything of the sort. In another bit of news, we have heard that some of these, and Ed, you can fill us in more about that too, because I remember you read the article about this, which is that certain high-ranking police chiefs are actually losing their jobs now over this. Now, can you want to chime in there about that?
Well, I can't really say for sure what's happening with that, because like everything, I'm getting it through Zionist middleman in terms of reading it in the major newspapers. I've read some things about that in some of the Greek newspapers, which we all know are owned by the plutocrat Babula and other oligarchs in Greece. And then from there, the New York Times and the Reuters and all those other Zionist-controlled media sources are starting to repeat these things. So for now, I would I was just going to say that their police being arrested, I mean, not arrested, but forced to resign and suspended because the Dendias and Samaras government are claiming that they are not properly investigating certain cases where Golden Dawn members apparently had weapons or people with weapons were outside of their offices or something. No, there's no proof of that the police were on the side of Golden Dawn or that this even happened. They're going off hearsay and left-wing accusations. I mean, worst case scenario.
What we do know is now, as we've always said this in the past, we said that the system is working in unison with the leftists, with the anarchists. They're using them as a paramilitary wing. We've said this. And, this has come out numerous times, but now you see it in the streets. You literally can see the police and the anarchists together marching to the Golden Dawn office to attack it. The anarchists will break the windows, and then when they're done breaking the windows, the police go in and raid the office.
That should be a pretty big clue to all the, those communists and anarchists out there. That don't you think it's kind of odd that that you have the full support to do whatever you want? You have carte blanche from the Greek government. I mean, the leader of the KKE spoke to a crowd of leftists gathered on the street and pretty much incited them into a riot. He pretty much said that it was time to smash the fascists. And soon after he said that, and this is, by the way, the leader of Kukwe. Soon after he said that, the very same crowd started to attack Golden Dawn offices and started to commit violent acts, destroying random property of people that maybe aren't even in Golden Dawn, just people in the neighborhood. And it's just a disaster. Not only that,
they've been attacking random people, too. What I heard today, in fact, from Greece, from talking to people in Athens, we even have one of our Golden Dawn New York members in Athens right now. They basically are waiting around the center of Athens. Anyone who has hair that's a bit too short, who's wearing a black shirt, not a Golden Dawn shirt, but a black shirt, anybody who looks a little bit too not leftist,
too normal,
is getting attacked.
Yeah.
Is getting attacked in the street. Anyone who they suspect even might be, not Golden Dawn, but even might be right wing or like, you know, a normal looking person, a little bit too square for their tastes, is getting attacked in the street.
Well, that's the dirty secret of Marxism, of communism. See, a lot of these Polytechnios that are now conservatives, New Democracy and PASOK supporters, a lot of them, they see the leftists and the communists as being misled idealists fighting for human rights and democracy. But in reality, George, communists don't tolerate anyone that even slightly deviates from their party line. And now that they've gotten carte blanche from the big guys up top, they're just randomly attacking anyone that is not a communist.
Yep.
Do you remember the man that went to one of the left-wing protests against Golden Dawn? And he protested the fact that he was with the protesters, but then when he saw the anarchists burning the Greek flag, he tried to say, you know, why are you burning the Greek flag? And what happened to him, George? He got beat up.
Yeah, that's right. He was in Thessaloniki. He was a teacher who actually, I believe he lost his job, and that's why he was with the leftists. He lost his job. He wasn't, you know, an anarchist, but he was a leftist, and he was, you know, against the austerity, against all these things that the leftists are against, and he felt he had solidarity, but he learned a lesson or two about not towing the line completely, because a lot of these older leftists, you know, especially the ones of the Polytechnio generation, most of them are not really these flag-burning types. They're usually, you know, they have some kind of warped fantasy where they think they can be patriotic and at the same time be internationalist and sell the country off at the same time. They have this kind of thing in their head, you know. So that doesn't really fly with the new crop of leftists in Greece. And so they beat him. And now he's probably rethinking his whole... this whole ideology about the world and about life.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
Have you noticed also, George, how all the English language media is... for example, there was a poll published by Metron Analysis that was put in the tabloid called, which in Greek translates into English as The Nation, which is a newspaper... It's a newspaper owned, of course, by our friend, the plutocrat capitalist Babulis. And the poll showed that before this incident was publicized, Golden Dawn had 11.7% of the popular support. And then afterwards, a new poll was taken, and Golden Dawn had 11.2% of popular support. So in other words, the reduction was half of one percentage point. Yet, when you look at certain English language websites and news sources, very popular ones, they're publishing this like it's some kind of amazing thing. You know, 0.5% reduction. You know, the headlines are all Golden Dawn losing support. And then you read the article, it says they went from 11.7% to 11.2%. You know,
well, they have a new one out, too. There's a new one that they've released, which is from the leftist magazine Eleftherotypia. Eleftherotypia means free press in Greek. This magazine is run by pretty much the PASOK Venizelos crowd. And what they do is release a poll. Nobody knows. They call it the polling company is called RAS, okay? Now, we don't really know. I don't know personally who owns RAS, but the polling that they used was a little suspicious because they were asking people, like, what do you consider Golden Dawn? And, like, 15% said, oh, it's nationalist. Like, 65% said, oh, it's a fascist party. And then they had the polling thing, which basically claimed that Golden Dawn lost pretty much overnight. 2.5% from, like, I think it was 8.5 they had us estimated at, and now like 5.8, like a little bit over PASOK now. But still, they even then, they had to list it still as the third biggest party in Greece, because even PASOK wasn't getting that amount. Now,
but isn't it interesting that all those polls that showed Golden Dawn is 14%, 15%, and then, of course, the secret poll that was 20%. The mainstream media and the international press did not publish those. Yet they'll publish this. It shows you that this isn't news without strings attached. This is...
The thing in Greece is that once Greeks make up their mind about something, the reality is that the people who are motivated to vote for Golden Dawn have already tuned out from the media. They already don't trust the media, because if they did trust the media, they wouldn't have voted for Golden Dawn in the first place, because every single thing the media says is against Golden Dawn. It's not like they talk about Golden Dawn like some kind of choice that you have, you know. They talk about it like you're a deranged person if you vote for Golden Dawn. So the fact that the media is trying to promote the idea now that all of these Greeks are actually going to like walk away from Golden Dawn and over the death of someone in a knife fight that happened during a Olympiakos football game. This is pretty ridiculous. I mean,
another thing that exposes the left, the red and blue alliance behind closed doors is, I've been noticing a lot of, pundits in Greece and writers are actually, They're excited about this, almost not excited, but they see hope in this incident, because now they're writing these articles in mainstream papers saying, well, you know, now that Golden Dawn, you know, is being blamed for this stuff, maybe now Greece can finally tackle the epidemic of left-wing terrorism. There's people actually saying this, and these aren't Golden Dawn supporters; these are so-called centrists. That are that they see that maybe now, in their point of view, maybe now people will start talking about left-wing violence, which is by far the most prevalent type of violence in terms of political violence in Greece, and even historically. Communists are violent, plain and simple. They believe that violence is the only way to take power. It's written in the Communist Manifesto. So it goes to show you just how many different types of people are exploiting this situation to further whatever political means they have, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
This is everything except about the actual crime. More is being talked about the political things that they're attributing to it than the crime itself, which is still... There's still so many questions revolving around it that have gone unanswered thus far. So
And what we know this far is that there's definitely some suspicious things. There is a chance that this thing was not a fight of itself, that it was actually like some kind of thing where there was multiple people involved, and it could have been a self-defense thing. It could have been anything. We really don't know at this point, because there's a lot of conflicted. There's also talk, the victim's mother said that there's in fact a video. Someone had a camera and they videotaped it, and that the police have the video. So I think as time goes on, the truth is going to come out about this case. And I have a very strong feeling that it's not originally what the English-speaking press had reported and jumped the gun on. I have a feeling that it's not going to be exactly what everyone thought. But be that as it may, this thing with what the government is doing it's really unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it. All the years I lived in Greece, I mean, I've seen them talk bad about Golden Dawn in the past over the years, but I've never seen them go all out like that in such unison. Because usually the left is trying to play the game that they're against the state. But now
they're radicals, anti-establishment. Even the leftists were starting all these rumors that, Golden Dawn is going to make a coalition government with the New Democracy. And they were spreading this all around, saying this over and over in all their news sources. Now look at how Dendias and Samaras are behaving with Golden Dawn. I mean, Golden Dawn, to begin with, Mihailo Iacos said clearly, the only coalition government we're going to make with is with Golden Dawn. That's the only group that we're going to create a government with.
Well, you know, the thing is that I remember in the past, the anarchists, just a little bit of back history, they historically were the arm of the kind of muscle arm of the PASOK party. PASOK used to be the one who kind of held their leash, so to speak. You know, after the junta, when things started getting more, you know, started changing, all the cheap money was coming in under Papandreou. They were essentially the strong arm, like, militia for these guys. Now, this, of course, was unofficial. We all knew this. All the nationalists knew this. But it wasn't the easiest thing to prove. Because
not only the anarchists, George. I mean, look at, for example, the KKE. This is an open communist party. And in the 90s, under Papandreou, the PASOK leader at the time, the one who essentially destroyed Greece. During this time period when PASOK ruled, they passed all these legislations that enabled the KKE to get its own TV station and radio station and frequency. They gave them all this money with all these new legislations for the Communist Party to put its message out on television, radio, and all kinds of mass communication.
Do you think they would do that
if Golden Dawn was in Parliament? Of course they wouldn't.
It wasn't that PASOK was communist, but what it was is that they felt that communism, like to have as many flavors of leftism, no matter what they were, was beneficial to keep the nationalistic and right-wing elements of society at bay. And that's what they did, you know, and it worked because, you know, at the time, you know, just like anything else, if people don't really see a need for something, you know, at that time in the early 90s, you know, people didn't really see a need why to be nationalist. They were making money. All this cheap credit was coming in. Times were good. Business was booming. They were able to, their purchasing power was increasing. They could buy all these toys and things. So people didn't really question why all this anti-national stuff was going on. They didn't really care. But as time went on, and as the crimes and the rapes and the result of the illegal immigration built over time, over the next decade, that's when nationalism started to reassert itself. But by that time, you already had this huge, you know, ingrained, you know, parasite of leftism all over the place. But what we've seen is that from PASOK running these anarchists and leftists back then, to now is we've seen the illusion of PASOK and Neo Demokratia being different. We've seen that dissolve, and they basically merged into one party, more or less. And it's open now that they're in a coalition. Now, I've said it before on this show, but just to remind people, there was a time when people wouldn't even drink in the same cafe as someone who was the opposite party. Like, in other words, PASOK people literally hated Neo Demokratia people, and they would drink in separate cafes. They were literally thinking that they were that different. So now that dissolved, that border dissolved. Now we have another border that's dissolving, which is the illusionary border between PASOK and Neo Demokratia that are together now, and the anarchist and the left-wing radical Syriza and all this kind of stuff. That is now dissolving because, and now you're seeing Neo Demokratia, PASOK, Syriza, all of these parties, they're all merging together. They're all showing who their loyalty lies to, and it's not Greece.
Of course
not.
It's
not the Greek people. And now, if you look on our site, if you scroll down and you go to this video, it takes place in Lamia, you can clearly see the police and the anarchists together, basically just, the police are letting the anarchists go and attack the office without any, I mean, this is private property we're talking about. It's not like, I mean, legally, they're supposed to, you know, protect, not just Golden Dawn members, but they're supposed to protect property. If someone's going destroying property and the police are there, they're legally supposed to stop it. I mean, that's what they're paid for, is to protect public and private property, just like here in the United States. But, I mean, imagine here in the United States, if someone didn't like a certain political party, like if you were a member of the Green Party, let's say, and the police didn't like you, I mean, the state didn't like you, so someone who was an enemy of the Green Party just runs up and destroys your, burns down your whole office, and the police don't arrest them. Even in this country, people would be thinking that's very strange. You know, that would be a big shock. But in Greece, people are actually used to this. They don't even think twice about it anymore. It's just expected that the police won't do anything.
Well, you know, to be fair, though, George, that's the truth with the left everywhere. The leftists tend to do all kinds of things. They destroy property. They attack people. They get away with murder, essentially.
And, yeah, but in the thing of Greece, though, the extent of the leftist vandalism in Greece compared to the extent in the United States is really, it's, you can't even make it comparison.
Of course. Over there, they're full-fledged terrorists over there. They're planting bombs in shopping malls. They're burning down banks.
It's not even, I mean, here, yeah, they might break a window here and there, something like that, or whatever, but over there, you can't even compare. I mean, they've literally murdered people, like pregnant women and, you know,
taxes,
innocent people.
All kinds of people. They don't...
Innocent people.
Yeah.
If that happened even in America, I got to say, a lot of Americans would be pretty sick of that, regardless of the political things involved. But what's happened is that in Greece, they've been so desensitized by this stuff. It's happened so often that most of these, like, these rank-and-file people who have been voting for PASOK, you know, it's kind of like that...
Remember when I was in Athens not long ago, there was some kind of anarchist riot where I was staying. And it was in the middle of the day, around lunchtime, and there was old ladies shopping for groceries while there's a riot going on in the street adjacent to them. And there's tear gas flying everywhere and stuff. So these people, they're used to it by now. It's such an epidemic that, you know, people are now used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And these anarchists never even articulate what they're fighting for. That's the worst part. Now they have kind of an excuse. Now they're fighting Golden Dawn. But then besides that, whenever they go out to riot, they never quite articulate what they want. What do they want from this riot? You know, I mean,
you know, it's really, the thing is that they're always around. They're allowed to go out and play when they want, but when the state needs them, the state basically calls them and antagonizes them to do something like this. That's what they're there for. Like, for example, like a lot of people say when the Aganaktis Meni, as they call them, the people who were fed up and they were all protesting in front of the parliament when all the austerity measures were starting, a lot of the protesters were getting upset with the anarchists because they were saying that the anarchists were used, actually, to draw in the police to make everybody go away. So, in other words, there was peaceful protesters coming up, trying to make protests about austerity and all this stuff. And then the anarchists would come, fight with whatever few police were around, bringing more police, and then those police would tell everyone, be they anarchists or be they regular protesters, to go away, which kind of thinned out the amount of people outside the parliament. And that's what they wanted. So a lot of people were accusing the anarchists of that. But even that, people didn't really do anything about it. People, you know, the anarchists really stand up to the anarchists in Greece right now.
Well, what about there was a really ridiculous scenario where the KKE, during a vote on about the Troika to initiate it in the parliament, the KKE stood in front of the parliament and defended it against protesters. The Communist Party defended the parliament while it voted on austerity against protesters with violence. They're beating up the angry people that were outside of it that didn't want this to be passed. And this is the Communist Party. I mean, is there any more evidence needed that these are just two sides of one coin, that they scratch each other's backs, guarantee each other money and a future in politics in exchange for doing each other's bidding?
As some people have called it, it's a public trough. It's like a club, and they know the rules of this club. All of these things, these political differences between them, it's all a theatro. It's a show. It's like a play at the theater. That's all it is. They all know that they're there for one purpose, which is to do what their bosses tell them, their international bosses tell them, and to collect their money and live their very comfortable lives. I mean, they literally don't even have to be in that parliament every day. They don't show up most of the time. And they've been collecting money for years. But not only that, that's just the beginning of it. So each of these parliament members, they collect a pretty large salary compared to the Greek salary. Unlike Golden Dawn, of course, they don't give any of that salary back to the Greek people for social work or to buy food or anything like that. But what they use it for is to get away with all kinds of embezzlement, all kinds of scandals, like ripping off money, businesses. Like, for example, they even take money from the EU and say they spent it on, you know, Project X. Like, for example, say they're going to build a bridge. The EU gives them, I don't know, 20 million euros for a bridge. They'll pocket maybe half of that money themselves, and they'll use the other 10 million to pay for like a bridge with shoddy materials or a road with very shoddy materials and get some Albanians to build it that they, you know, gave papers to and legalized them so that they could get away with that, and then they keep the money. That's what they do.
Yeah.
It's basically a license to steal for them. So they all have an interest in this, even the ones that aren't like in these parties that are in like central power, like for example, the smaller parties like Kukwe and Kamenos and all these guys, they want to stay in this trough. They want to stay in this club. So that's why like somebody like Kamenos, if he leaves Neo Demokratia and comes into this new party, Independent Greeks, he knows the game. He knows what he wants to do. He just wants to he doesn't care under what flag he stays in that little club. He just wants to stay in the club and be in the clubhouse so they can keep robbing. That's all it is. And now Golden Dawn has come in, and they're basically ruining the party. They're ruining their whole little club. They're ruining it.
And you can't hide that from the people. The parliament debates are broadcast on TV in Greece. So anyone can turn on the TV and watch, you know, Golden Dawn literally battling these corrupt scumbags. You can't sling enough mud on that. No, even if now they're trying to do that, they're trying to sling mud and try and sully the image of Golden Dawn in the eyes of the people, it's not going to last long, because once people watch another parliament debate, they're going to see Golden Dawn juxtaposed with Venizelos. And what are they going to think when they see that? When they see Golden Dawn?
Is, these guys are proven, I mean, especially now the Democracia and PASOK, they're proven thieves. It's like, it's not even a question if they're thieves. Nobody questions it. Even the people that are voting for them don't question it. You know? I mean, even the people, just like those people don't, they're desensitized about the anarchists and they don't do anything about it. They're desensitized about being robbed, those people. The only thing keeping them loyal to voting for these thieves is fear. They're telling them, you know, basically these people, these middle-aged, like, you know, polytechnio types, they have their pension they want to protect. And they want, you know, they have their kids in school and they're in college or whatever, and they have their property. And they're basically telling them, hey, you could either vote for the unknown and not known, which is Golden Dawn, and all this destabilization is going to happen and all this stuff. And you could, yeah, maybe they're going to do something, but you know what? Or you could come with us. We're your old friends. Remember how peaceful everything is? Don't you want it to stay like that? You know, don't you want it to stay like that? Don't you want us to be in the European Union? Remember how it's just a little while longer. They're promising them, it's just a little while longer. Don't let Golden Dawn screw it up. We're going to fix everything. Just wait a little while. It's going to get better. Trust us. And they trust them. They trust them. Not to say they trust them, but they want to believe them, you know? Because the other option is much more scary for them, especially when they're thinking of their pension, for example. You know, like, if they think, okay, well, if Golden Dawn gets elected, I'm probably going to lose my pension because the country is going to go into an unknown scenario where the European Union is going to not want them and all this stuff. And many of these people, they might not like immigrants. They might be worried about the Muslims invading Greece. They might be worried about the borders with Turkey. Many of these people are like that. They're politically schizophrenic in the sense that they say one thing, you know, in a cafe that might sound patriotic, but when it comes down to it, they're thinking of their stomach. They're thinking of the next check that's going to come in. How many more checks am I going to get? And that's what they're thinking of. I want to save my pension, and Samaras is going to do it. That's what they promised them. That's the only thing keeping them alive right now, those parties. That's the only thing. And PASOK is completely dead, because PASOK already betrayed them to the point where, you know, PASOK was the unlucky one, because it just happened to be the one in the musical chairs that got caught lying directly to all those people, telling people there was money, and then 2 months later, they launched austerity. If it had been Nea Dimokratia when that was happening, it would have been the same for Nea Dimokratia. Nea Dimokratia just came out on top, because they happened not to be the party in power at the time when that was implemented. But believe you me, if they had been, and they would have been, they would have done the same thing. So that was just roulette, you know, that they happened to be the party that took the hit.
Yeah. People, the question isn't about an educated voter making a choice nowadays. It really is about fear, and the fear that these Democrats spread. Democrats and the left, because I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios that they're presenting. For example, they're looking for any way possible to blame Golden Dawn for all of Greece's problems. There was a minister in Greece, I can't recall his name, but one of the ministers of Greece, of the New Democracy Party, he came out and he publicly stated that the reason Greece is doing badly is because, in terms of economics, is because of Golden Dawn. The reason Golden Dawn is to blame is that because Golden Dawn is around, Jews won't invest in Greece, which means that pretty much the entire world economic system is shut off from Greece. Now, what does that show you? That shows you, well, yeah, Jews control the world, but you can't get on their bad side, even if what the policies they impose on you are destructive, because if you criticize Jews for controlling the world's finances, then they won't invest in your country, you know. But that's not the right attitude to have. The attitude you have to have is that we have to build our own manufacturing. We have to create industry. Sweden is a country with 9.5 million people, and yet they're able to manufacture automobiles, electronics, all kinds of intricate things, which is what essentially helps their economy quite a bit. It's one of the best economies in Europe. So why can't Greece do that? It's an interesting question.
Well, I'll tell you why. The reason why is that when all this was going on years ago, when they were giving all this free credit under Papandreou and all these things, at the same time, they were deconstructing all of that stuff. Now, that's not to say that Greece had a technology set or any kind of thing comparative to what Sweden has today, but they did have factories. They were producing many products within the country, including a lot more agricultural products were being produced that are no longer produced in Greece and are being bought from Germany and from other places where it can be bought from a huge conglomerate that supplies it much cheaper. So that reliance is one of the stipulations of being in the club. If you want to be in that club, in that parliament, as it has been, the rule of thumb is to sell off all of the interests which would make Greece self-sufficient. That's
well,
the deal.
Well, that's the European Union. Germany.
Well, see, that's
the way
deal.
It works.
See,
right.
They look the other way. In other words, the European Union knows that these Greeks and this parliament are stealing money. Even the EU money, they know that. But they don't care because they know that the return on investment is much greater. You know,
it works, George, in the European Union. See, are you familiar with, for example, the Warsaw Pact in Eastern Europe during the days of the Iron Curtain? What happened was that all these countries like Poland and Czechoslovakia, all these Eastern Bloc nations, were completely dependent on Soviet exports and for Soviet bailouts and support to sustain their economies. This was done on purpose so that these countries would stay communist. If Poland depends on the Soviet Union, they have to do what the Soviet Union says if they depend on them economically. The relationship Greece has to the European Union is the same thing. The European Union is the 21st century Warsaw Pact. The way it works is that Germany gets to export all of these products, flooding all these nations around it. And the deal is that they have to actually, the countries that they export these products to have to be dependent on Germany and Britain. And hence what happens. These countries that are dependent on the EU, which is essentially Germany, Britain, and France in terms of economy, have to go by what Germany, Britain, and France tell Greece to do politically.
Right.
If they don't, they won't get another bailout. That's it.
It's a satellite state. Basically.
Exactly. So any Greeks or anyone at all, actually, that is still supporting the European Union and Greece's role in it now is a fool. Because the longer Greece stays in the European Union, the worse it's going to be off.
Well, it's come a long way because, you know, I remember talking to my Greek friends when I lived there back and I was asking them, I asked them, you know, I came the first time to live there in 2004, but the real change happened around 2001, 99 to 2001. And at that time, they were telling me that Greeks were telling them, you know, these are Golden Dawn guys, my friends, and the Greeks were telling, and they were against it back then, just as they are now. And the Golden Dawn guys were telling me that these average Greeks were telling them, oh, the Germans, they might move here and buy houses here, and our wages are going to be like theirs. We're going to have the same wages as the Germans. They actually believed that they were going to make like double the amount of money. And what's funny is that the next day after they switched to the euro, the price of everything essentially doubled when they went from the drachma to the euro.
Of course.
Everything doubled. Doubled. Overnight. And that was a huge shock for them. But even that wasn't enough to make them, you know, back off of the idea, because again, the same people, Pasok and Neo Demokratia, promised them, look, we know it's just a little adjustment. That's just growing pains. And they borrowed some more money, and they kept things, you know, going a little bit. They started building, you know, they started borrowing money to build things like the new airport in Athens. I'm sure you saw that, Ed.
Yeah.
Train system, the metro. So they were showing them all this stuff, which was basically a way of, like, quelling their uncertainty and their pessimism or their suspicion by doing all this stuff. Because these people, you know, oh, we're going to ride the new metro today. Oh, wow, you know, and they feel so good. But that was a very, very short window. I mean, I came there at the peak of that, which was right before the Olympics. The Greeks were like in this kind of euphoric state where they thought that things were not going to get any worse. It was going to get better and better and better and better. And then, like, by 2 years later, it turned completely sour. It just went downhill. And then it really went downhill in 2008. So this is an ongoing thing. I mean, this is not something new. It's just that it's like a cancer that keeps – that it's like it's going into its final stages, you know. It's terminal now, you know.
Well,
and that's what we're dealing with.
More and more people are starting to realize that the European Union is not good for anyone. It's not even that good for the Germans. So there is no real explanation as to why it's still around, except that the man behind the curtain wants it. The bankers and all those other people, they like the setup of the European Union. But it sure doesn't benefit the small countries.
National borders and autonomous states are bad for this type of world economy that the Jews want, that the banks want. It's bad because it creates so much red tape and so many blocked markets, and for this type of economic system to keep growing, it needs to keep conquering new markets. It can't come into walls. It has to break down any walls. That's why they don't want any country in the world. You know, we said this before on the show.
If the Jew George Soros wants to speculate on the Deutschmark, he can make a lot of money on the Deutschmark, right? 80 million people, large industrial base. But the Jew George Soros, if he can speculate on the euro, which has hundreds of millions of citizens, numerous countries, that's a bigger profit.
Much bigger.
I mean, it's just a matter of simple economics, okay?
And not only that, I mean, it's much easier to create uniformity of products if there's a company that he wants to invest in. So that company is not just operating in Germany, it's operating all over the EU.
Aside from the economics, too, what about the social and moral problems of joining the European Union? When you join the European Union, you have to take up all of their gay, sodomy, lesbian, bestiality, gay, transvestite, LGBT. You know, you gotta take up all those causes. You have to legalize abortion. You have to legalize no-fault divorce. You have to do all of these different, you have to jump through all these hoops just to join the club. So this is a great way to standardize the morals of the West.
And those have nothing to do with economics. They're pure social engineering, nothing more. That's all it is.
Well, it's social engineering that leads to economics. Because if you social engineer that, then people aren't going to notice you stealing. Because people are going to be so obsessed with banalities, like, you know, they're going to be so obsessed with sex and drugs and all those things that they're not even going to notice you, because they don't have a nation or morals or values to gain strength from. So you can do whatever you want. The people are busy. They're busy. I mean, they show pornography in the middle of the afternoon in Greece, and yet they won't give Golden Dawn 10 minutes on television to defend themselves against all of these libels. That
yep,
shows you something.
That's right.
That shows you something.
And, you know, the claims are getting more and more blatant. You know, I mean, today our leader, Nikos Mihaloyakos, said that, I am not Al Capone, and we are not the mafia. We don't assassinate people in this regard, especially a musician who, I mean, he's not a politician. He's not any, I mean, why would Golden Dawn even think to do something like that? And use a guy like that to do it. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. I mean, anybody who thinks logically, capable of thinking logically, and is not a sheep, can figure this out. It's really logical. You don't even have to be a supporter of Golden Dawn to figure that out. You could be anybody. As long as you can think for yourself, you can figure that out. And I really didn't want to. We're not going to go too long with this radio episode today. But we wanted to just get this kind of stuff out of the way and kind of give you guys an update about what's going on, because this is going to probably unfold in a very interesting way. And one more thing I wanted to add, which we have already mentioned on the site, is that one of the repercussions that the state has announced is it's going to cut the funding for Golden Dawn, the funding that they're entitled to by the taxpayer because they've achieved X amount of seats in the parliament. They want basically special law for Golden Dawn denying them any of that money, which in turn, that money that Golden Dawn gets is not for their own pocket. The biggest portion of that money goes to the social work, which is collecting the food, buying the potatoes, and all this kind of stuff that you see on a site and other places that Golden Dawn is giving to the Greek people that are starving. And they're basically going to take this money, withhold it, and then give it to the banks, give it to the EU, and all of this. So before we go tonight, I wanted to announce that if they go through with this, all of us, Golden Dawn in New York and Golden Dawn abroad, the other chapters abroad in Montreal and in Australia, we are going to be working overtime to make sure that we supplement what the Greek government is taking from the Greek people. We are going to work three times as hard if we have to.
Absolutely.
And we need your help as listeners to do this. So if you go on the website, you can see the address that you can send a P.O. box. You can send to the P.O. box food, any kind of non-perishable stuff that's going to ship nice. You can send. You can also send gift cards. You can get them at Walmart. You can get them pretty much any kind of drugstore. You can buy them, depending on what region of the United States you live in. People living outside of the United States that might be listening to this, you know, we encourage you to spread the word around to people you know about the donation drive, because this, as we build this over time, the more and more support we get, the more we're going to basically override this problem when it arises, when and if it arises. Although we don't know yet, because, you know, that's a very risky move for the state to do, but they are desperate enough and they may very well do it. So don't be surprised if they do it. So Ed, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we go?
No, just to reinforce our commitment as the chapter in the United States, that we will continue our struggle, and no laws or illegal slanders or leftist violence is going to daunt us, not here, not in Greece, not anywhere. This is not going to make Golden Dawn go away. We're everywhere. And if the Greek government chooses to cut the legal parliament funding of the People's Nationalist Movement, then we're going to pick up the slack for that. We're going to help them. Because unlike what the Bolsheviks say, there is no rich person helping Golden Dawn. There are no millionaires or ship owners or dock owners or anything. Those are all lies. This is purely the money that is paid to them from the Greek government and from individuals, individual working class people banding together around the world, in America, in Australia, everywhere. And we are here in solidarity with Golden Dawn in its struggle, and the struggle of the Hellenic peoples. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, very good. And we thank you again for being with us tonight, and we want to remind you that we will probably more than likely have another shorter episode to update you on if anything happens in the future very soon, because this is unfolding as we speak. So I'd like to wish you all a good night. Once again, I'm George with Golden Dawn New York, and thank you for being there, and see you again next time.
Yeah. Goodbye.